Let's take our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be continuing where we are in the Word of God together here in this book of the Bible. We've come to verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I could probably entitle the message several things. We're going to read down to verse 11. We'll lift a phrase right out of the text, and it would be, "The letter killeth." The letter killeth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 6, if you would follow with me, it says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." Now, I would point you to four phrases that occur here over and over again, and I think it's pointing out the sense of the text and what the Lord would have us to think about today. First of all, would you look at verse 7? He talks about the ministration of death. Now, ministration, that's just another word for ministry, as you see in verse 6, "who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." So he's talking about a ministry, and the ministration is communicating something from yourself to another individual or imparting that. And the first thing he talks about is the ministration of death, the ministry of death. Now that just sounds like a strange phrase. Why in the world would anybody want death ministered to them? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's what we need to look at this morning, one of the things. And then he moves from the ministration of death. Look at verse number 8. "How shall not," watch it, "the ministration of the Spirit." So the first thing here is the ministry of death. Here's the ministry of the Spirit. Here is ministering to someone, not death, but ministering to them the Spirit of God. Keep reading. Look at verse 9. "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." So this is what he's saying. God is ministering different things to people. There is a ministry of death. There is a ministry of condemnation. There is a ministry of the Spirit. There is the ministry of righteousness. And so there is a parallel here. And this verse, verse 6 to verse number 18 at the end of the chapter, will compare the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is a difference. Now, it's just one book. Now, we don't chop the Bible up to say, you know, that we have, this is just one Bible. It's not two different Bibles. It's one Bible. But we understand that there's a different purpose in what's in the Bible. All of it does have the same purpose. There was a purpose in the Old Testament, a certain ministry that God was ministering to mankind through the Old Testament. And there's another ministry that he's ministering to mankind through the New Testament. So that's what we want to look at this morning. Now, go back up to verse 6 and let's read. He says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." So the letter killeth. That is that ministry of death, verse 7. The ministration of death. The letter killeth. You know the Bible kills? A lot of people understand that. The Bible kills. You say, what does it kill? It kills a lot of things. It'll kill the flesh. It puts sin to death. It also will kill the soul. You say, how's that happen? Well, it's because of sin. And so the Bible says the letter killeth, that ministration of death. Now, what's he talking about? Look at verse 7 again. The ministration of death written and engraven in stones. Now, what is that? Come on, you put your think cap on. What was engraven on stones? The law. The Old Testament law, the law of Moses, that Old Testament that God, and he goes on to say, look at it. If the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So he's talking about what he ministered through Moses. Moses ministered death. You say, well, that's a bad thing. Well, you know what? A lot of people don't understand. God is both a God of the dead and of the living. Would you go to Deuteronomy 32? And I'll read you something God says about himself. Get Deuteronomy chapter 32, and then with your other hand, I'll take it to the New Testament. Romans chapter 7, the Bible kills. You know why a lot of people will never get saved? Because they will not take the ministry of death in their life. They won't accept it. They won't accept the fact that the Bible says, for the wages of sin is, say it, death. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that there is any death associated with sin. I can sin all I want to. There will be death, but we still have graveyards. Death is still a reality. And so is the second death a reality. And the ministry of the Old Testament, the ministry of the letter to our hearts is to put to show us that we have been put to death, that the consequences of our sin are real. And so it'll show us and teach us that we need to go somewhere to find help for the fact that we are dead in trespasses and sins. But some people never see themselves dead in trespasses. They never have entered into that ministry that, hey, I'm dead. I'm dead in sin. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 30. Who wants to minister to death? I'm glad. I'm glad that that's not all of my ministry. You know what? I tell you what, I have to minister death to people sometimes. You know, I even did that to save people last Sunday right here. Did you know I was ministering death to people last Sunday that were saved? Listen, I am, say it, crucified with Christ. Is that not death? Is that not a ministry of death? Paul said, I die daily. Is that not a ministry of death? Likewise, reckon you yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. Is that not a ministry of death? To crucify the flesh and understand that the flesh is crucified. And a lot of people don't want anything to do with that ministry. But it is a ministry nonetheless. It's what the letter does. It kills. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Bible says in verse 39. Deuteronomy 32, 39, look at it. It says, see now, God's talking. Deuteronomy 32, 39. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. Watch your Bible. Watch your Bible. I kill. Do you see that? And I, what does that say? Make alive. Look at your Bible. I wound. And I heal. Do you know that about God? Do you know that God is not just a healing God, but he's also a wounding God? Did you know that God is not just a God that makes alive, but a God that also kills? You say, well, I don't appreciate that about God. Well, you should appreciate that about God. If not, then you'd be spending an eternity with the likes of Adolf Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer and people that have, you understand, there's sin deserves the death penalty. And the letter and the Spirit do two things. The Bible does two things. You know, the Bible will make you alive. And that's a wonderful thing. But the Bible will also put a stake in your heart and kill you. And that's the ministration of death versus the ministry of life. So here's the thing. Is it life or death? You know what's strange about what Deuteronomy 32 says? You know what happens at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 32? Moses dies. And Moses put away. You know, that's also another lesson. You can try to keep the law all you want to that Moses, that God gave through Moses. But the fact of the matter is, the law always ends in death. It never ends in life. If there could have been a law that had given life, surely the Bible says life and righteousness would have come by that Old Testament, but it can't. It can't impart life. It's a ministry of death. It's a schoolmaster to tell us that we're dead in our sins, and that's our penalty for who we are and what we've done. Moses, keeping the law can't help you. You need a different ministry. All that Old Testament, all that Moses will do for you is just lead to the graveyard. It'll just lead to the graveyard. The death or life? Which is it? Look at Deuteronomy chapter, since you're right there in Deuteronomy 30, I'll read it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, you say, well, man, God kills and God makes alive. Yes, but here's the great thing. He puts a choice in your hand. He puts a choice into your life. It's not that he just randomly kills or he randomly makes alive. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe that God says, all right, you deserve to die and then you deserve to have salvation. God doesn't do that. He kills and he makes alive. He heals and he wounds. How many times have you picked up the Bible and you read the Bible and it wounded you? But it didn't wound you because God's just a mean person. It wounded you to heal you as well. Look at Deuteronomy 30. Watch what God says right before these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says in verse 19. Watch this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Look at it. That I have set before you life and death. Do you see that? Blessing and cursing. Therefore, look at it. Choose life. Do you see that? God says, I have a ministry of death and I have a ministry of life, and I'm going to put it before you. Here's life for you. Here's death for you. Here's blessing for you. Here's cursing for you. I want you to choose life. Well, that'd be a great slogan for the pro-life movement, wouldn't it? Just take it right out of the Bible. Choose life. It's amazing in all the race riots and that people get so enamored about the death of one when we've got millions of babies being put to death. Nobody even gives a flip about that. Doesn't even care. You know why? People don't choose life. They choose death. Even in all this protest to try to show the value of one life that was lost, they're killing people. Where is that mentality? God says, look, there's death and there's life. I want you to choose life. But you can choose death, and that Bible will put a stake right through your soul, and you can experience a second death and go to hell forever and ever. It's your choice. Which ministry do you want? Well, I know which one I want. Lord, I'm gonna get on the life side. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want the curse. I want the blessing. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. He says there's a ministration of death. Don't get so enamored with that letter and with that law, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Look at, take your Bible real quickly and go to Exodus 32. I'll show you that difference between the ministry of life and the ministry of death. This is amazing. You know, if you didn't know any better, you'd think, so many things in the Bible were a coincidence. But you know how God has purposefully written everything in this book and caused everything to happen. It's just overwhelming to me sometimes. Look at Exodus chapter 32. It just shows me how big a God I have. In Exodus chapter 32, and then with the other hand, grab Acts chapter 2. You know what the difference between Exodus 32 is and Acts chapter 2 is? In Exodus chapter 32... the law comes down from Mount Sinai. Moses is up there on Mount Sinai, and he's got those tablets, and God engraves in those tablets the law. And he stays up there 40 days and 40 nights, and then there's a rumbling down there, you know, and he comes down the mountain. The first time, watch it now, the law comes down the mountain to the people. You know what happens? You know what happens when the law came down? The law is mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, but Moses is coming down the mountain in Exodus 32. When the law comes down from the mountain, You know what happens? Death. In Exodus chapter 32, would you look at it? He says in Exodus 32 and verse number 28, would you look at this? Watch this. Watch this so closely. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about, what does that say? 3,000 men. About 3,000. Now you know the story. Moses is up there on that mountain getting the law of God, and they're down there worshiping that calf and making themselves naked and dancing around. And down comes Moses and down comes the law, and the judgment that came with the law is 3,000 people were put to death. That was the ministration of death. 3,000 people died because of the law when the law came down. You know what happened in Acts chapter 2? The law didn't come down from a mountain. The Holy Ghost came down from heaven. And when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, you know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2? Would you look at it? In Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2:41, the Bible says this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see that? It even uses the same word about. He didn't even give. He said it was about 3,000 that died when the law came down. He said it was about 3,000 that got saved when the Spirit came down from heaven. You know what that is? That's the difference in the ministry. Which choice do you want to make? Life or death? Oh, what a Bible, what a God. Now when I go back to my text, I see in this text, he says the letter killeth. Would you go back there? Because some have said, and I want to put this as accurate as I can, and Lord knows I've prayed about it, because everything is important to me, what I try to say and communicate to the people of God. He said in verse 6, who hath also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So the question is it only the New Testament that, or only the Old Testament that kills, and only the New Testament that gives life? There's some truth to that. But you know, there's something even about the words of Jesus and the words of the New Testament that'll bring judgment as well. That'll bring condemnation as well. Oh, they are life-giving. But at the same time, you know, remember what Jesus said? Jesus talked about his word. If you believe his word, you know, you'll have everlasting life. You believe on him. His word is life. But you know what he also said about his word? He said in John 12:48, he said, the word that I speak, the same will judge you at the last day. Not just the word of Moses will judge you, but the words that I've said, these wonderful words of life, will also judge you at the last day. You know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, day the books will be opened. Not just the book of the Old Testament, but the books will be opened. And the dead will be judged out of those books that are written. And man will even be judged. You know, the gospel's life-giving. The gospel's good news, is it not? You know, there's also a bad part of news to the gospel. You know what the Bible says in Romans? He said in Romans chapter 2, he talks about in verse 16, Paul says this. He says that men, the secrets of men will be judged by my gospel. The gospel will even judge man. The gospel will bring forth condemnation to man if he has not received it. It's still a choice. It's still a life. He said, God's made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. In other words, we're just not ministering the letter of the Word of God. There's something else behind the letter. You know, many times when people think of the New Testament, they think of Matthew to Revelation. You know, I really don't think that's what he's talking about here. You know why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, all that hadn't been written yet. As a matter of fact, if you do your research and study, at the point of Paul writing this letter, there probably were only 3 New Testament books written. So I do think he's probably referring to the body of letters that they had, the whole body of the Bible, which at that time was the Old Testament. And it kills. It shows that we're dead. But there's something about that New Testament that also wounds and hurts and kills. What did he say over there in the same book in chapter, I think it was chapter 7? He said, I wrote you a letter. Right? What did 1 Corinthians do? It killed.
showed the judgment and the anger and the wrath of God over all their sinful situation. And he said, I wrote you a letter. And I was almost sorry I had to write it, but I had to write it. I had to take that knife, that sword of the Word of God that's two-edged. It's a sword of death. It's a sword of life. That same Word of God, amen, that saved my soul will be the same Word of God that comes out of the mouth of Jesus at the second coming and destroys His adversaries. It has a double-edged sword to it. 1 Corinthians cut deeply. It almost was like it was death. But you know what? Paul was saying, look, what I was writing to you, look, you know what he wrote to him? He says, ye are carnal. Boy, that's hard. Right? How many times you reading the Bible? You're going to see it tonight. Oh, foolish Galatians. That's hard. There's sin named among you that shouldn't be once. That's not even named among the heathen. That's hard. That's the letter. But listen, you know what was the truth about what that letter said? Paul was not just ministering a letter. There was a spirit behind that letter. And that spirit behind that letter, and it was behind the words, but it was behind the spirit of Paul. He wasn't trying to kill them. He was trying to heal them. Do you see that? And when we approach the Bible, we need to understand there's a choice here. There's a choice of life and there's a choice for death. That's true for the New Testament. It's true for the Old Testament. Look at Romans chapter 7 real quick. Watch this. Have you ever heard anybody talk about the age of accountability? Now, that phrase is not in the Bible. But in Romans chapter 7, we see the ministry of death that the Bible brings. In other words, there comes a point in every person's life, unless their mental capability never comes to the place of the knowledge of good and evil, which that occurs. But there comes into every individual's life that doesn't have some type of handicap in that area, there comes a point in your life that you died. And you know what it was? The Bible killed you. You say, what are you talking about? Let me ask you a question. If a baby dies, is that baby a sinner? Of course the baby's a sinner. You know that because they cry in the crib and there's nothing wrong with them. They're liars. They want to be held. That's right. Those are little toddlers, they don't even know what sin is, but they sure know how to be selfish. They know how to be angry, right? You know why? It's in their nature. They're just a sinner. Well, when they die, well, then why don't they go to hell? Because the Bible's never killed them yet. That's just boiling it down to some simple terms. But when they get to a certain age of the understanding of that command, that Bible slays them because of sin. We'll read about it right here in Romans 7. Look at it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, and we'll start reading verse 5. Romans 7 verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Again, he's comparing that difference of ministry and the difference of the New Testament. And I was going to say, the New Testament is not just books. It's also a state of being. It's a covenant. It's a way of life. In other words, look, when I minister the Bible, you know what? We study the Old Testament. I preach the Old Testament. I minister to people words out of the Old Testament, but I always minister in the New Testament because that's where I live. I don't live in the Old Testament. I live in the New Testament. So when he talks about the New Testament, he's not just talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 8. He's talking about living in a covenant of life with God, a testament with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you can understand that, but that's what he's trying to say. We are ministers of a New Testament. We're ministers of life. We're not just ministers of words. We're ministers of the life of Jesus, the covenant of Jesus, the testament of Jesus that God wants to have with people. But this is what happened to us. He said that newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid.
Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Watch it. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. You see that? Without the law, sin was dead. I mean, though I'm a sinner, I don't know anything about it. I don't understand it. But look at verse 9. For I, watch Paul, I was alive without the law once. Look at it. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, look at it, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul says this, there came a point in my life I understood the commandment. And when I understood the commandment, when I understood the word of God, when I understood what God thought about my life and God thought about my sin, I came to that knowledge of sin. And it killed me and I died spiritually. And now there's a payment to be paid. The ministry of death in my heart telling me and showing me that I'm a sinner and showing me how sinful I am. And it killed me. But it didn't kill me because God wanted me to stay dead. It killed me because God wanted me to find the real source of life. It put to death my own abilities. It put to death my own works. It put to death everything about me that I must turn to God and find life in a different way. That ministry of death, that ministry of the letter to kill. You know the Bible could even kill. You know, we can take the Bible and we can hurt people. And sometimes the Bible does hurt people, even if that's not our intention. Because the truth hurts. It does hurt. We just need to make sure as we are ministering the Word of God, that we're not just ministering the letter, we're ministering the spirit behind the letter. It's like you can stand on a street corner and say, you know, you're all going to hell, you're going to fry like a sausage in the pit of hell, and you're wicked as hell, and you can preach that, and all that can be just as true as it can be to the letter of the law. But there's something more than just the letter of the law. There is the spirit of life and the spirit of God that wants to impart life to people and give the answer to their death. Go back to our text. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, he said that ministration of death, he'll say something strange because we wouldn't say this, but God says this. He said in verse 7, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, what's glorious about ministering death to people? What's glorious about the law? I mean, he said over there in Romans 7, the law killed me. But then he says it's spiritual and it's holy and it's just and it's good. How can you say good things about a law that kills you? How can you say that it's glorious? You can say it's glorious for several reasons. Number one, it's glorious because who it came from. You know God didn't have to talk to us. You know God could have let every one of us go to hell after the Garden of Eden and he'd have been justified in doing so. God never had to provide us a way of salvation. God never had to provide us a way of escape, let alone live with him forever in heaven. God didn't have to do that. God could have just wiped us all out and that'd been the end of it. But God communicated with man and he started with the law. Why? Because you can get no help unless you know what your problem is. You know, so many people trying to get help, but they don't even know what the problem is. Oh, the problem is the racial issue, and the problem is the unjust issue, and the problem is the innocents that are dying. No, the problem is sin, and people don't know that. And the law was written so that we'll really know from a God who really knows what the truth is. What the truth is. What the truth really is. The truth is that I can act like some things are important to me, but at the same time, I'm just as dead as I can be and just as wicked as I can be. Just because I don't have their sins doesn't mean that I'm not sinful. Old man has a way of saying, these people, look how awful they are. Look how terrible. Look what they've done. How can our society go this way? And at the same time, never see the same wicked, awful, heinous traits in their own hearts. They justify themselves. But you know what the law does? The law says, all of you are guilty. And that dude over there that killed somebody, all right. But you know what? You've borne false witness against your neighbor. Well, that's not as bad. That's because you're wicked and you don't think like God thinks. Honor your father and mother. Well, I've never committed adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've never committed adultery. But he said, what else did he say? Honor your father and mother. Isn't it strange how people pick the commandments and they'll choose which how guilty they are? But you know what? If you look in that commandment, the ministration of death is all of you are guilty. All of you are sinful. That's why it's glorious. It tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And brings man to the end of himself because he can't keep the law and he can't measure up and he's only doomed to a graveyard. What do? You go get another ministry. You find one that can minister life to you and not just death to you. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. You ever had somebody that did what they were told, but not with the right attitude? They kept the letter, but not the spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that's real obedience? You know, I don't know why I use it, it just comes to my mind. You know, you tell little Johnny to take out the trash. And little Johnny doesn't want to take out the trash. But little Johnny is afraid of some things. So little Johnny goes and takes out the trash. But all the time he's taking out the trash, he ain't taking out the trash. Y'all know what I'm saying? He is just as rebellious and disobedient as if he sat right where he was. You know why? Because there's the letter of the law, then there's the spirit of the law. You know what God wants us to do? And this is what some Christians never get into. He doesn't just want you to obey the letter. He wants you to go farther and obey the spirit. He wants you to get in the spirit, the attitude. And that's what I would talk to you about the next type of ministry here. He said in verse number 8, how shall not the ministration of the spirit be rather glorious? Doing what is behind the letter and the spirit that is behind the letter is more glorious than just sticking to the letter of the law. Look, I want my kids to do right and I want them to do right to the very letter of what I tell them to do. But there's something more glorious than that. The glorious thing is if they want to do it, if their heart is in it. And that's the same with us as God's people. It's not like, I have to go to church and I have to read my Bible and I do this, preacher, and I don't do this and I confess my sins and I pray. But it's not doing the letter. It's the spirit. I want to do it. My heart's in it. You know, that Bible's not just a book of letters. There's spirit behind those letters. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Listen, and they are life. What's behind that book is the spirit of Almighty God. You want the ministry of life or the ministry of death? You want the ministry of the spirit or just the ministry of the letter? Are you trying to keep the spirit of what God wants you to do? Or are you just trying to keep the letter just to say that you've done what you're supposed to do? Which ministry do you want? You know what? The Bible, the letter, is like a body. What is your body without your spirit? It's lifeless. It's dead. That's why there are religious people that go by the letter of the Bible, but the Spirit of God is not in them and they're dead. It's just motions. It's just letters. There's no spirit. And that's why the Bible tells me over and over again, I need to be filled with the Spirit. And I need to walk in the Spirit. And I need to be yielded to the Spirit. And so many Christians have never entered that, and that's not their ministry. And the last two verses of our chapter is all about the ministry of the Spirit in your life and the ministry of God in your heart. Like I was preaching last week about Christ can be in you, but not living in you. And the Spirit of God can be in you, but that may not be, you may not be letting Him minister to you. And you may not be keeping the spirit of what's behind that. I'll even go into it tonight. It's uncanny how God has put 2 Corinthians 3 and Galatians 3 together. Our passage in Galatians 3 tonight, where we'll be in our next verses, talks about, again, the ministration of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit. You know, when I get up here, look, I'm not trying to fill your head with a bunch of facts. I'm trying to fill your head with the truth, but fill your heart with the Holy Ghost, because that's what's going to make the difference in your life. That's when it's going to come real to you. That's when the ministry of the Spirit will take a hold of you. When it's not just this letter. It's not just these facts. You can go to seminary. You can go to Bible college. You get all the facts of the Bible. And you can be empty on the inside. And God says, I want to minister you the letter. But no. More than that, I want to minister to you the Spirit of God that's behind those letters. So that life can come. Look at Romans chapter 8. Everybody okay?
Amen.
And we didn't have Sunday school, so I got to give you 15 extra minutes or something. Amen. Romans 8. And by the way, that's why things of the Bible sometimes stick with you and sometimes they don't. You know what the Spirit of God writes in the fleshly table of your heart? What the Spirit of God writes in the fleshly table of your heart, that's in our chapter, will stay with you a lot longer than facts and letters and precepts that are just in your brain. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, all this is connected just to our text. Life, Spirit, condemnation. Righteousness. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now what does our Bible say back in our text? He talks about the fact of the ministry of righteousness and the ministry of condemnation. Look, do you want to just be condemned by God because of your failures? Or do you want God to minister to you, not condemnation, but minister to you righteousness? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be ministers of righteousness. Ministers of righteousness. A lot of people don't want that righteousness. There's the ministry of condemnation. You say, how do I get over here in righteousness? It's the law of life in Christ Jesus that the righteousness of God would be yours by faith and not by something you do or not by some letter you follow, but what the Spirit of God imparts to you as you walk after the, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Righteousness. God wants to minister to you righteousness. He wants to minister to a sinner righteousness. The Bible tells us those that try to establish their own righteousness, Romans chapter 10, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's a gift of righteousness, you see. It's an imparting, an imputing of righteousness. And God says, look, you're condemned because all you do doesn't measure up. And you can either have this ministry of condemnation or you can let the Spirit of God be shed abroad in your heart and righteousness come into your life because you put faith in the Lord. You know what? I really think
Some people think they're all right just because they went to church all their life. I think some people think they're all right just because their lives aren't all that bad. Some people never come to that place of the ministry of condemnation. They'll never condemn themselves. They'll never see themselves guilty. Because who my parents and who my family was. And God says, no, you are condemned. That law is a schoolmaster to show you. You will never measure up. But God wants to minister to you righteousness and give it to you as a free gift. And not just give it to you as a free gift, but every day in your life, let righteousness come out of your life as you walk after the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to tell you, church. We have failed. We are bankrupt. We are in such a need of God. I need God. You know why I need God? I can't be righteous. I can't live righteously. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit of God to bring righteousness through my life. I need the Spirit of the ministry of the Spirit of God to bring God's life through my life. You want life or death? Do you want condemnation or righteousness? You want Spirit or you want the letter? And God says, I'm trying to minister. Trying to communicate that to people. Trying to give it to people. And this book is glorious. Even the part that kills us and hurts us, it's glorious. It's glorious because it's holy. But there's something more glorious than that law. There's something more glorious than that letter. And I'll close with this. Our text said when Moses came down off that mountain, his face shone. In other words, that power of that letter and that power of that word of God and that ministration of death, though it was law and though it killed and it condemned, it was so powerful and glorious when Moses walked down off of that mountain, his face glowed like a light bulb. You know why? Because looking in that law just made his face shine with glory and righteousness. God's glory was on his face. And the people said, sunglasses, please. You know what they said? Coronavirus, you need a mask, sir. No, they said, you got to cover your face. Listen now. I said that to try to get your attention. Some of you have sleep. So you got to cover your face. Put a veil on his face because of the glory. We can't talk to you. It's too bright. That's the Bible. That's that law. That's that ministration. It is so glorious. It is so powerful. But you know what the Bible says in our verse? That glory was done away. You know what happened to Moses' face? His face quit shining. Because though he had 40 days and 40 nights with that law, and then he went up there and got it again after he broke it. His face shone, but it didn't keep shining forever. You know why? Because that law can never keep the shine on. But you know what I read in the New Testament? I read of Jesus Christ, amen, being transfigured in his glory, and just wasn't his face shining. Everything about him was shining. It was like a supernova, amen, of sunshine up there on that mountain, and they didn't know what to do, and they couldn't see a thing. You know what the Bible says? That resurrected Christ in all of his glory, Jesus is still shining. Amen. And when he comes again, you know what it's going to be like? When Jesus comes again to this earth, the Bible says it's going to be like the sun. Amen. When it arises with healing in his wing, you can't look in the sun. The glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of what Jesus Christ can do for you and do in my life is not something that's temporary, but something that's going to last forever and ever. He'll outshine the sun, brother. Now, why wouldn't I let him shine in my life like that? That letter, it'll only glow so long. But the end of this chapter is going to tell you, you can have that glow every day. And Jesus can shine through you every day because of the ministry of that Spirit. But listen now, guys. You're going to have to quit turning him off. You're going to have to quit checking out and turning him off. And you need to let him minister to you. Ministry of life or death. The ministry of righteousness or condemnation, the ministry of the Spirit
or the ministry of the letter. Choose life.